Thank you. Welcome to the pavilion. Those of you listening by radio, come down here sometime. The world famous Ocean Drive Pavilion. Been here since what, 54, 55, after Hazel. And join us. And we have an interesting thing. Pam LaVorne, you know Pam. She's always running around here doing something good. And she found a 90-year-old man named Bill who needed some help. And she said she's taking that as a mission. And she goes over and cleans his house and cuts the grass, rubs his feet, goes two or three times a week just to help the fella out. Checks his blood sugar, takes him to the doctor, runs errands and all. And she saw he used a walker to stand up from a chair, and his legs are very weak. He's a pretty good-sized fellow, about 6'2". And Bob and Pam found out that Mary Boyle here, Mary had a lift chair that she had bought for her dad years ago, and he passed away, so she gave it to him to use. They all got together last Monday, took it over. He sat in it, lifted his feet, and said, "Thank you, God." Yeah, isn't that good? Bob and Pam take him to CDs every week, and he listens to them and reads his Bible every day. He said if our church ever had any projects going on, he'd like to contribute. When they told him about the pennies from heaven to feed the little children, he gave them a bunch of change, wanting to give back something as God had given to him. When he was younger, he'd visit old people and witness to them. Now that he's old, nobody's come to visit him from his church in 2 years. Until last week, two ladies came by and said they were just checking on him, asked him if he would like to tithe. He said yes, but he was tithing to the church who was helping him, bringing him CDs and got him a chair so he can stand up. And so thank you, Pam, for helping this gentleman, and thank you, Bob, and we thank you, Mary, for giving you a chair. Now, Bob found out they were charging helping hands. Somebody charged them $100 a month to store their building on vacant property. I don't understand people. So Tracy said, take it out to the farm. Put it out there for nothing. So y'all continue to do good things that you do and help people. And it's something the mayor, bless her heart, when she has a problem, she sends them to us. Isn't that strange with all the churches in town? She sends them here. She said, I know y'all will do something, and we will. So we're so glad you're here. Anybody here for the first time this morning? We're glad to welcome you. Thank you for coming. Anybody else? All right, good. Glad to have you. All right. Where is that? Right there. We're glad to see you. Now, who's the lady that had the birthday? Stand up. I want these folks to see you. Now, you look at her. And I wouldn't tell you if she didn't say, I'm very proud to be my age. Now, did you get a good look at her? She's 78 today. Some lady said, I hope I look that good at 78. And I said, I wish you looked that good at 50. What? Supposed to tell the truth. Oh, me. So if you, we're glad to have you this morning. Best time of year, October, November, our best 2 months down here. And you do know there's no more calling north of Virginia inviting people down. You do know that, don't you? Yeah. We tease, thank you, honey. We tease Michael about being a Yankee, and he's a good sport. Yes, Deborah Krieger, her mother sits right in this area, and a little bitty lady. I bet she's only 75 pounds, and this is her daughter. And she was in a car wreck the other week, and I visited her in Wilmington, and she was in a coma, and we prayed for her, and she passed on. There'll be a funeral Monday, 11:30 at North Myrtle Beach Gardens. Is it Yeah, Memorial Gardens, if any of you would like to come just to support her. A little bit of lady, you wouldn't even know she's here. She sits here quietly, and of course that saddens her as her baby daughter died. So we'll pray. If you brought a Bible, turn to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8, at verse 28, and we will expound the scriptures. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to come to your presence in the name of Jesus this morning. And we thank you for a wonderful fall day, how beautiful it is, and how anybody can look at the ocean behind me and see what we see and not see you in it is beyond me. Thank you for all you've done for us and through us, for those who have come to thee, those who are grieving because they've lost loved ones and other problems that have come up. But may we preach your word this morning. Be with me, if you would. Remove me from this place and let yourself be heard. Have everything that I shouldn't say be forgotten, everything I should say be remembered, that those who are here may be helped and learn there is a balm in Gilead for all troubles, and save the man nearest hell. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We find ourselves in a time of trouble in our world, and a lot of people struggling, a lot of people suffering. I've never seen so many, held so many funerals. I have to go and hold, and I see loved ones crying, and I see people in terrible straits. And then I try to cut on the television, only to find out one more nut's got a nuclear weapon, and it's unending. And we are in an age where we're struggling, and it's not a secret to those who know the scriptures. God said when we turned our back on him, he would have the world in derision, and there they are. And he also said he'd laugh at them for not following him. Some of the events I've been to, supposed to be religious events that I'm holding, no different than going to one of the bars up the street. And I mentioned to somebody yesterday, I said, do you believe we're holding a wedding and it's a religious service, and 50 people in front of me go to drink a liquor or a beer in their hand? What are they thinking? I mean, can you not just put that down for 5 minutes and come and hear the wedding ceremony? But this is typical thinking of the average American. You see, it's insanity. And we have, the world somewhere is turned upside down, thinking has gone crazy. We knew that that was going to come upon us. But the whole world is struggling and suffering, and they don't know why. America keeps doing it, and the more they do it, the worse off they get, because the further they get away from God. And I heard someone railing against these churches. I wouldn't put them on, but I'm glad they put them on. They put on these Halloween things. They call it Halloween. And they get kids in there and show them what's going to happen to them if they don't get things straightened out. And one of the TV personalities was against this, yada, yada, yada. And he said, there's no such thing as fear. And I said, son, you got a lot to learn. I don't know how old you are, but you have a whole lot to learn. And the common thinking today is that people don't fear God. That's what's wrong with America. They've lost their fear of God. And they think that justice denied is because it's been postponed, and it hadn't. You will stand before him, and it becomes sad. But we know with all our troubles, in verse 28 it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So at a time of suffering and a tough of sadness and hard goings, we know by reading these verses, not just these, but hundreds of them, that the Lord Jesus is our refuge and that we in him are safe from all things. It's a very difficult thing to go and preach funerals and have a friend of yours lying in a casket in front of you and try to explain that Jesus came to do away with death. But once you understand that, you understand it's just a formality at the funeral that he's been out of there for 3 days. And it's sad to know that people will come and see someone, and I notice it at funerals I go to. I'm glad they came and paid their respects and all, but I've noticed in the last few years how far they stay away from the casket. And one room will be full of people talking and actually laughing and carrying on, and the guy who has passed away will be in a casket by himself in another room, and nobody goes in there anymore. I saw 1,000 people pass in front of Ned Marshall's casket. It was quite a thing. I sat there for 4 hours and watched it. And about 5 were crying out of 1,000. And I don't know what's happened. And I asked the funeral home directors that. And they say, I don't know. Said, there's just been a big change. Well, I know what it is. People have no fear of God anymore. And a typical American thinks when you're dead like a dog. Go ahead and put you in the ground or put you in the ocean out there, do something with you, but it's over for you. And I just want to smack somebody every time I hear somebody at a funeral say, well, life must go on. I mean, it's just total disrespect just to say that, but it doesn't matter anymore. And people do not care anymore. And this is a sad thing that we're in this position, but it comes from us being in the fear society. My friend Ned Marshall, he was killed last week. Just went to work, opened the store, 2 people came in to hold him up and killed him. Left with less than $50. And you say, well, why would something like that happen? Well, of course, they naturally probably were on drugs and didn't know what they were doing. They didn't care what they were doing. But you see, people don't know. They say, how can somebody think like that? Well, that's how you taught them how to think. See, you taught them there is no God. We threw God out of schools years ago and said, take your book with you. You taught them evolution, that they came from animals and that they were nothing but animals, so what does it matter if they live or die? You've taught them that there's no such thing as right or wrong, that there's no such thing as evil and good, there's no such thing as sin. And you've taught them that there's no accountability. Exactly what did you expect them to do? That is the end result of all that teaching, and we can't figure that out. Isn't that sad? And so we find out we need a place where we can go and get away from all that. And we look, and it is no more, is it? You can't hide from a cell phone. Anywhere you go now, they can contact you immediately. Anywhere you go now, the little thing you carry in the palm of your hand goes to a satellite, and you know exactly where you are anywhere in the world. I saw a guy who was naked carrying a spear with one of those things in his hand on TV the other day. I couldn't believe it. He was marking the trees in the forest and there he was. He just skipped 3,000 years of history and jumped right out of there with his bamboo spear, naked as a jaybird, and had a GPS thing in his hand. I laughed like I cried. I said, this is absolutely wonderful. Isn't this something? See? But all of that has just passed by, and we look and say, well, where can I hide? We have nuclear proliferation. Everybody's got it. We got that. And we don't know what to do because we try to stop one country from getting it. It doesn't matter. Their brother's got one. He'll sell it to them. Save you money. And we know and we live and we get up every morning under the threat of nuclear war. And you know it and I know it. And we're just hoping it doesn't happen this morning. I had a friend call me from California. He said, I dread getting up every morning because I know I'm going to cut that TV on and somebody's hit New York again or Los Angeles or Denver or somewhere. And we know it's coming. And we do all we can to stop it, but it's not going to happen. And it used to be, well, if it's too cold or too crowded up north, we'll move south. And it used to be, if it gets too crowded here, we'll move out west. And now there's nowhere to go. I heard on the news the other day, there are as many cars in America right now as there are people. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. What are we going to do? Well, this problem wasn't new. In Numbers chapter 35, I believe it is, you'll read about the cities of refuge. Moses was instructed to set up cities of refuge where those in trouble who had killed a man by accident could flee. And they could get in one of these cities, and they were allowed to stay there until the priest died. Then they would be tried. But the reason they went there is the in-laws, once you kill somebody, they would come after you. They didn't care whether it was murder or accidental. His brothers and cousins, they'd come looking for you. And they'd take your life when they found you. So they had to have cities of refuge. So God told Moses where to put them. And he put them on the east side and the west side of the Jordan. Moses puts three, and then Joshua put three. And they don't do anything by accident. They name these things. It's a pretty good sermon in itself. They named one Bezer. And Bezer means strong. And the place of refuge had to be strong. If it wasn't strong, they'd come in and get him and kill him, would they not? So when you're looking for a place of refuge, you're looking for a strong place. And Ramoth, the second one, was named High Place. It was on a hill. Because back in that day, they didn't have the weaponry we have today. And the only way to start a fight was to do it by hand. And if you were in the higher ground, you had an advantage over your enemy. And those in the military will tell us today, the high ground is the best place to fight from. Golan, the city, was a circle. We even carried that over to the wagon trains, did we not? And circle up the wagon trains. And when the Indians come, you shoot at them through the circle. The Baptists never understood that. In the Baptist circles, they shoot to the inner circle at each other. And I never understood that. I laughed. Don't mean to get on the Baptists all that bad. I've been a member of some Baptist churches, fine Christian people, but we laugh at each other at things that we do. And he had just gotten saved and baptized, and I knocked on his door trying to witness to him. He said, oh, yeah. I said, I've already heard all that. I believe that. I'm a Christian. I'm new at it. Said, I've even joined the church down on the corner there, the Baptist church. I got baptized and everything. And he said, well, good. And go to church, go to Sunday school, learn more about it. He said, I will. I've already learned that we're very big on eternal strife. And the guy said, yeah, I understand that, but it's eternal life, not strife. Kadesh was a sanctuary. And you see these birds, we have bird sanctuaries up and down the East Coast for the ducks and the geese when they fly down, that they can land and take a period of rest and get their strength back to go on to where they're going. And you can't go in there and hunt them, and you can't hurt them. That's a sanctuary. They're safe there. You place a refuge, you want it to be a sanctuary, don't you? That's where you want it to be. Shechem meant shoulder. And you like somebody with broad shoulders protecting you, and you want somebody with strong shoulders to be at the wheel when you're getting something done. And I have a picture above my bed of Jesus, the good shepherd carrying a lamb over his shoulders. And the little lamb, the 99, the one that was lost, he went and found, and too weak to come back on his own, he put him on his shoulders and bore him back. And that's what we think of when we think of the place of refuge. And Kiriath-Arba was a brick fortress. Think about that, back in those days, having a brick fortress. So if I have a place of refuge that's strong and high and circular, and it's a sanctuary, and I'm on a strong shoulder of the man who is taking care of things, and it's a brick fortress, I'm in pretty good shape. But it takes more than that for your soul, so where you gonna go? I remember when my father went to be with the Lord, and I had to go and take care of the things and get his stuff out of the house and all that, and I found a little card on his mirror, and I carried it in my wallet till it wore out. It said, "The Lord is my refuge, a very present help in time and trouble." And that's your refuge if you're a Christian. Because, see, you have no else to go. We tried the psychiatrist, and they went crazy. You know, and we tried, now they're still lighting candles and having spirits and peepings and mutterings. You see that. Now, Satanism has made a rise in our country. There's Satan churches now, you know. And, of course, they're tax deductible. They're right in there with the rest of us. Isn't that sad in this country? And we find out that people don't have anywhere to go. They're trying to, what is the answer? Well, we've had answers for a long time. And it's not Romans 8:28 that we quote so easy. I've heard that from both sides of the casket, and I didn't like it from either side. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And we find all things encompasses Ned Marshall getting murdered senselessly. We find out that all things include little Debbie Krieger in a car wreck for no reason, single car wreck, dead. We find our business fails, and we find that we don't get seemingly any respect any than the wild people, and we wonder, why me? And I've said it, and you've said it, when something bad happens at our house, why me? 230 million people in this country. Why me? Why us? Why did this happen here? And we can't understand that because we are infinite. We are finite, and God is infinite. And we're trying to discern infinite things with a finite mind, and it can't be done. There's no way to do that. You might as well ask a fellow who just learned to add and subtract to solve an algebra problem. He can't do that. He's not that far along yet. And that's why we, by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our refuge, because if we knew all he knew, why would we need him? The problem is, we know very little. Einstein, who knew everything except how to comb his hair, said that we probably know less than 0.5% about anything. And we get mixed up thinking maybe we are equated with God. And I love my friend Jack over here. He sent me an email. They're having another war with atheists, and going to have a big debate on having morality without God. The man from CCU is going to stand up for an hour and tell them how you can be moral without God. And everybody there will have a PhD, and they'll be so smart, and I'm not going to go because they don't want to fight. They just want to talk. But people of a simple mind like me can ask so simple the questions as, my man, I can't discuss with you on your intellectual level, but I do understand when you build a house, you better understand that a foot is 12 inches. You better have a standard to measure by. For if you have no standard, there's nothing to go by. And if there's nothing to go by, I mean, what's moral in America isn't moral in Tobanga. some parts of Africa is perfectly. I was watching the History Channel, and they showed a lady, and she was going to spend the night with another man. Wasn't her husband. But in his village, that's permissible. If she decides to do that, then he's just got to go along with it. And what are we going to do? Adapt his standard? The Muslims who come at us with covered heads and praying all the time and looking holy and righteous have a little shortcut in there that if you're out of town and you won't spend a night with a lady, you can be married to her for one night. They call it muta, is it, Jack? It's we call it whoremongering. Are we going to go with those morals? I mean, what do we do? Where's the standard? And if you don't have the standard of the word of the living God, and that's the standard, then there'll be no morality. Because everybody's morality is made up in their own mind. Is it just me or is anybody else really not interested in what Anna Nicole Smith and Paris Hilton do? I mean, out of 230 million people, this is the news. This is the best we can do. This is what we want to sit people down after supper and tell them about. My, nothing's going on, apparently. Isn't that sad? That is headline news. What they want to do, or what has happened to them again this week that they caused through their lifestyle. They were worrying about who killed one of them's son. I can say that because you can't sue me. You don't know which one I'm talking about. Well, I don't know what happened. I know what happened. You raised him up to live like hell. He did, and it killed him, and you were the cause of it. Yeah. And they never figure that out, do they? And they want me to be sad. I'm sad a little boy lost his life before he could learn about Jesus. But for heaven's sake, he was what you raised him to be. You are what your moral code is. And if you don't have a standard, then all things aren't going to work out for you. The common language, they use half the Bible's verse. Have you not heard them when something happens? Well, it's okay. All things work for the good. And you heard people say that? Everything happens for a reason. Well, of course it does, nut. There has to be a reason something happened. I think they're being philosophical about that. Well, I guess it was his time. No, his time ran out is what really happened. His time was when he was here. And they'll look at you and say, well, all things work for good. You better read the whole thing. All things work together for good to them that love God. If you don't love God, it's not going to work together for good for you. You're going to hell. That's not good. You're not going to like it. Well, I thought people quit preaching like that. That's why the church is empty. They quit preaching like that, for they don't know how to tell people where the refuge is. The refuge is in Christ Jesus. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, God has already determined to fulfill his purpose, whether you like it or not. And he is going to fulfill his purpose whether you're part of it or not. And we go to war with the good Presbyterian brethren and many fine Christian Presbyterians, and I love them, and that's good. But if you have to say that somebody's predestined to be saved, then you got to predestine the rest of them to go to hell, and I venture to say you won't say that. And I'm not mad at the Presbyterian brothers. There's some wonderful Presbyterian Christian preachers, and I just love them and what they preach. But, my brother, I'm going to start asking you to be honest when you give your invitation, when you get through preaching. I really don't appreciate you giving a Baptist invitation at a Presbyterian service. If you're going to tell people Jesus loves you, died for you, and you can accept him and be a Christian, don't you give that Baptist invitation. You tell them what you really believe. Now, I'm not talking about everybody here. When I say you can be saved, I want you to know that's not everybody, that just a few of you have been elected to be saved. The rest of it's just tough luck. That's the way I want to hear your invitation from now on. Be truthful. But when I give one, I say all. Whosoever. Everybody. And I want you to tell them when Christ's work on Calvary was done, that he shouldn't have said it's finished. He should have said it's finished for some of you, if that's really what you believe. I believe he finished the work of redemption for everybody that has been born, is now, and will be born. That if his blood didn't forgive all sin for all time, it forgave no sin for no time. And he didn't elect you to come in and say, I want to be covered because you chose me. He said, choose me because you've been covered. Saddest thing in the world is that every man on earth who's ever been born or will be, sin has already been paid for. All he has to do is stop by the cross, pick up ticket. A good Presbyterian preacher and I held the service for Ned Marsh, a wonderful young man, about 50. Never thought I'd live to call a man 50 a young man. Highly educated, Dartmouth, I'm talking. Duke, PhD. Wonderful speaker, wonderful preacher. I should have saved that bulletin they gave out. They had him assisting me. Picture it. And he was scared to death before I called him. What a wonderful guy. Read Dr. Pender, really liked him. He's a friend now, and we're glad to be together. But he was standing there, and I said he didn't know if he had a good basic reg net that was going to go in and shout and scream. He didn't know what he had, you know. They introduced you, so the preacher's named Beaver. He'll be here in a minute. And he's Dr. Pinyard, and he's got a collar on, and I'm saying, oh, me. He ain't going to like this. And he was scared to death. I talked to him on the phone, and he said, well, now, you know, when we don't want to, we just want to express our faith there, tell me how to preach. He didn't know. He said, he's being kind, very kind. I'm not ridiculing him. I love him. And he said, now, we just want to, you know, express our faith there and all, not too much humor and all. I said, this ain't going to be good. So we met in the hall and talked, and I said, brother, I don't want to insult you, hurt your feelings, but I'm a street preacher, and I'm a street fighter. You see, we learned a long time ago across the street at the pad, disarm somebody, then hit them in the mouth. Don't say, let's fight, let them get ready, you'll get killed. And I said, that's the way I preach. I'll get people laughing and saying, they'll say, well, this will be harmless. Then I'll bust them right in the mouth. And he said, oh. And so we went ahead, and we had a wonderful service, and he did his part, and it was absolutely wonderful. But I told him, I said, Doc, people call people like me the far right. What they call people like me, just letting them know what to expect, you know. And they call other people the far left. And I said, when they start that, tell them, why do you call us the far right? The only reason we look like we're the far right is you went so far left. We didn't move. It's you who left. You left. I said, I'm standing right in front of the cross. Virgin birth, inerrancy of Scripture. Christ shed his blood for the sins of mankind, was qualified to do that. was buried, rose the third day bodily, ascended to his Father, is going to come back and send up his kingdom. I'm standing right in front of the cross, my friend. I didn't move anywhere. You went so far that way, I looked far right, because you left. Please understand that. He said, I like that. And I said, the man at the funeral home, you know, they want to be all dignified. For $40,000, they ought to. Yes, Pastor Greenway, I got promoted up there. Pastor, two or three reverends in there. I was looking good. Till one of them asked me, what denomination are you? I looked at him and said, same as Jesus. And it got real quiet as he was trying to think, what church did he belong to? I'm saying, and I said, you got to be honest with stuff. It hurts. And I'm not mad at my Presbyterian brother. But don't say you can be saved by faith. But that only goes for a few of you. Me and you going to part company then. We're going to part company then. Not mad at anybody. My nephew teaches at a Presbyterian seminary. He's got a PhD from Princeton. I got him on the phone the other day. Billy, how you doing? Fine. I said, what about that ball game? He said, yeah, we lost by 6 points. And I said, you should have known that. You're a Presbyterian. Wasn't that predestined? So he's dadgum you. I knew you. But I love him. But you can't have it both ways, can you? He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, what God has done, he's got a program put together that anybody accepts the Lord Jesus as Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God begins to work on you and begins to conform you to the image of his Son. He had already planned that out. He knew there'd be a church. He knew out of millions of people, a few would really believe. He knew a few didn't mind be calling far right, because we're not going to leave. We don't want to be called the left. And I'm not going to be left behind either. We're proud to be Bible-believing people who believe in the deity of Christ, who believe that he opened the door on Calvary's cross and shed his blood and opened his arms as wide as they could open them before they nailed nails in them. Just say, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. I don't think regular, as you already know. And I often think on the cross, there's Jesus dying for the sins of mankind, and to either side is somebody's son dying. Maybe somebody's dad, somebody's brother, somebody's friend. You can't get any closer to redemption than being crucified with Christ. And one of them availed himself of the opportunity and the other ignored it. 10 feet away. How sad to be within 10 feet of the redemption scene of the atonement and die and go to hell. How sad. How sad to go to church and you just sit there and listen to those some few who do and never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. How sad. How sad to go to a church who has decided that the Bible is no longer the Word of God, that they will decide what part he wrote and what part he didn't. Who is it that has the gall? I've noticed those people who say such things never give you a list of who makes that final decision of what was inspired and what wasn't. They just say some was and some wasn't. Now, I want a list. How sad that they could come that close to the truth And like the other thief on the cross who didn't believe, miss it by such a short space. The man who understands grace better than any man who ever lived, I believe to be the thief on the cross who accepted Jesus. Of all the people who appreciate their grace of God and how you got saved and what you used to be and what you are now, of all the people who enjoyed that grace, I can't think of anybody else who would enjoy it more than him, how close he came to losing it. And there it was, 10 seconds to go. And Jesus is going to cry, "It's finished." And this man looks at him and said, "I believe who you are. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "It's done. It's done today. My friend, you'll be with me in paradise." I noticed he didn't turn the other way and say, "By the way, guess where you're going to be at 4:30? Sad, isn't it? Missed it. Come so close. How close are we that we know we need a refuge? We know death is coming. I used to come and talk about those old 70-year-old people. I had to up them to 90. Right? Didn't you? Preaching at Ned's funeral, I said, "Folks, I don't know any better. Everywhere I go, I preach the gospel. I just don't know any better." Yeah, I was an evangelist. I was one when you invited me. What did you expect me to do? When you saw me walk in the door with duct tape on my Bible, should have told you something. Don't argue with a man got duct tape on his Bible. You're going to lose. And I informed them that could have been them in the box. And I know you looked in the mirror this morning and said, "Boy, my hair isn't really all that white." Yeah, it is. "I don't really have that many wrinkles. Wait till I get this makeup. I got some mud here, Jack. We'll be looking smooth." No, uh-uh. No, you wrinkle. No. Yeah. So I tease Ann sometime. I said, "No, honey, is this bald spot covered? I've brushed up and hand me my bifocals and get me my teeth. I'm going down to Harold's, hit on some chicks, you know." She just looks and shakes her head and says, "Well, tell the chickens your wife said hello." And I just, you know, she knows. She knows. And we all put it off and don't think it's going to be us when we know that it is. But thank God he gave us a refuge. He gave us a place to hide, didn't he? He said, "If you will come unto me, you will become part of me. You will be in me." Read the times the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, who it was written through, says in Christ. His whole theme is he was in Christ. Because being in Christ, I have a refuge. I have an ark. I tease people and say, "How many arks were in the Bible? Anybody know? One? How many? Two?" Someone said. "Say two? How many?" "There was three. See, Noah's ark, right? Ark of the Covenant. Moses' ark, when they put him in the bulrushes." You see, an ark is a place of safety where you ride above the trouble. Noah in the flood is a picture of the tribulation period that's soon upon us. And Noah rode above the problem, didn't he? There wasn't a problem. God didn't call Noah on his cell phone every morning and said, "You still with us?" The only thing God said the whole year that he was in that ark, only thing the Bible says about it is, "And God remembered Noah." All I said. That's all I need to know is, "Don't worry, this we can't find your name, son, but God remembers you." That's all I want to know. Am I in the ark? Am I in the place of refuge? Am I in the place of safety? Can anything happen to you? I just read to you at the end of that. Did you know that verse 35, I believe it is, over there, starting over in there, that this is everything the world Now you listen real careful. Verse 38 and 39 is everything in the world. Everything that has been in the world. And everything that will be in the world. In two little verses. Only God could write that. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You cannot get me out of the ark. I don't care whether you like me or dislike me, approve or disapprove, I'm in. Get used to it. You're going to have to live with me forever if you're a Christian. He'll probably want me to be nicer, and I will. But not now. Isn't that where you want to be? And did those of you who are long of tooth, white of hair, old and as old as I, older than I am, here today, that have heard this story over and over and over and never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you know it and I know it. You played with it, toyed with it, can quote some of it, and never have committed yourself. And it bothers me because I hold too many funerals, and some of them I know where they are, and others I don't. And it can be you. Mr. Regers didn't expect to be buried Monday. Ned Marshall expected to open the store this week. In fact, he was coming here to church today. And then Sandra. Nobody calls ahead at the funeral home and says, y'all got a sale this week. I'd like to go ahead and... Nobody does that. And your or my coffin may have arrived in town yesterday. We don't like to think about that. Talk about something else. No. No, let's talk about you and the ark. Are you in one? Or is the only ark you ever going to get called a coffin? That's the only one you're going to get. You'll be in it a while. I don't like to hear that. Nobody does unless you know there's an answer. And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me. All you who are labored and heavy laden problems, and I'll give you rest. And don't worry about what happens to you here. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. Don't worry about all that. That's just the beginning. Forever's coming. Eternity's on the way. What you gonna do then? And if you've never made that decision, why, we don't have to scream and holler and pound on the pulpit and do all that stuff. For those who do that, that's fine. Keep at it. I don't care what you do. But isn't it reasonable? The Bible said, come, let us reason together. Hadn't you figured out you're going to die too? Is that really news, then, man? Really news to you? There is evil in the world and there is good. Is it any news to you that the government can't solve it? Is it any news to you that the United Nations and all the other United Notions and that nothing's being accomplished? Is it really news to you the world's in turmoil and is about to end? Is it really news to you that 80% of the people that sit in church pews are lost? That might have been news to some of them. Billy Graham said 80%. Hear it, listen to it, but they're not part of it. It's like SOS down here. 10,000 people come to watch 100 people that really know how to dance. It's a joke. I see them here flailing around in here. Pam has to put up mattresses to keep them from killing themselves all in that. Oh, yeah, we went down there. No, you didn't. No, we were part. No, you weren't. You didn't even know what took place, let alone able to reminisce about it. You weren't even here. Well, I go to church. Well, what do they have? Well, let's see, y'all. at them pew things, I understand. What's the preacher's name? Let me see. I know it. I just can't think of it. Then you don't know it. How often you go? We go, I'd say, least once a month. Oh, don't press yourself now. Isn't that sad? But is that you? Let's change something. People don't like change. That's what Jesus majored in, was changing. That's what he called people like me to do, is said, go tell them to change. Yes, sir. Because if you don't change, you lose. So understand, the plain and simple gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. He's deity. He's God. Came here with nothing but good news. And the only fault they could find with him was he went about doing good. So they murdered him for that. He shed his life, his blood, to pay for the sins of mankind. He's the only one who could. He's the only one with the authority. They buried him and thought it was over. Saturday night, Satan and the demons held a big party. Sunday morning, they found out the truth. He's up. He's back. We lost. We better do the best we can. And since then, he's attacked people like me and you, saying there's no God, there's no sin, there's no judgment. All that's mythology. It's one more religion. No, it's not. It's the truth of God from the Word of God, from the Son of God. And if you don't know him personally, I suggest you get acquainted this morning. Why'd I do that? I'd come. You don't have to go anywhere. Right where you sit. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. If I die today, I'll go straight to hell. Me and you both know it. I want to be forgiven. I want in the ark. I want a city of refuge, and I believe it's you. Please take me in. I'll learn more about it as you teach me, but today, let's just get me in. And he'll honor that prayer, as he did for so many who sit around you, and as he did for me. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful fall day. Thank you for the beautiful fact that you died for our sins. They're paid for, and we have a city of refuge. We have a place to turn. Someone to turn to, and we can be put in you. We don't understand that. That's a mystery, but you said it, and that ends it. And I'd ask you, Lord Jesus, for the one here who's lost or listening to Reagan's or radio or on the World Wide Web, or gets a CD somebody so kindly hands them and they listen to it almost by accident, that they understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only answer for that is you, to by faith accept you as Lord and Savior, to repent, which means to turn and walk in a new direction, and say, Lord, I'm sorry I sinned against you. Forgive me. I wish to be born again. I wish to be saved. And he will answer that prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you answered it when I prayed it. Thank you that you answered it for others who are here. Thank you that you'll continue to answer it until you come soon. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.